Now, it's a privilege to tell the gospel story, but God put us in bodies to get nervous. I appreciate a verse in Ephesians 4, 22, actually two verses in 23. Ephesians 4, 22 and 23, it says that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, verse 24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The theme tonight will be the new man versus the old man. We had a recent problem in Ciudad Juarez, Mexico. We've been renting a chapel there. For those of you that don't know who I am, my name is Tony Sanchez. That's my wife, Lisette Sanchez. And the Lord called us to preach in Ciudad Juarez about 12 years ago. And we've been renting buildings. We haven't built a chapel there. And we've been renting a house there for 4 years. And recently we had trouble again with the toilet didn't want to flush. The water would not go into the tank, and there was no water to flush the toilet. And I was baffled. I thought maybe the neighbors behind the house had dug up and maybe were tapped into our water and were using it. And I checked, that wasn't the case, and I was baffled. I wasn't sure what was happening. But somebody suggested that the tube, the feed line, could be stopped up. And I thought, no, that can't really be. But yeah, there's enough calcium and enough mineral buildup that it slowly got stopped up. I noticed that the tank was filling up slowly until finally it stopped. And so I finally got the time. I bought the piece. Finally got the time, took it off and put it on. It worked again. So I was thinking about, I had to put off this old line with something very simple in order for it to be fed water again. And, you know, there's times when we're not willing to put off certain things in our life. We have to put off the old man, be born again by the blood of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, through our part, repentance, faith, and forsaking that sin, and then we'll be born again. And he'll take away the old man, and he'll put in the new man that is connected to Christ, and will receive everything, forgiveness, love, mercy, grace, compassion, like we're seeing our names written in heaven, power, the resurrected life in us, being born again. I heard a story recently that really impacted me. I didn't check the validity of the story, but it was about a certain tribe in Africa where if somebody killed a certain individual, instead of killing that person, like we do in some parts of the United States, electrical chair or other ways of taking care of the person, they would tie the person that was killed, murdered, to the person that had done the murdering, to their back. They chained it to him from the arms and from the legs, and he'd have to walk around with his body. In the beginning, it wasn't too bad, but as time went on, that body began to get maggots, rot, and he had to deal with that smell. And after a time, those maggots would start chewing on the back of the person that had done the murdering. And that was the punishment. That's why they would punish him. So that would deter them from doing that. And it just fit in real good with this verse to me, that if we don't put away the old man of anger, wrath, malice, adultery, fornication, lying, witchcraft, dishonesty, worldliness, whatever it might be, that it'll start to eat on us. And it was presented that this man represented unforgiveness. And, you know, sometimes we think, well, they did me wrong, and I forgive them, but I don't want to talk to them, I don't want to visit them, I don't want to do anything with them, I forgive them. But have we really forgiven? And, you know, if we don't forgive, if we carry that dead spirit of unforgiveness on our back, it will eventually do damage to us. It'll begin to eat us, and we will be the ones that are hurt. And so I encourage each one of us this evening to put off the old man and to put on the new man. The old man is life without Christ, the unregenerated life. The new man is the life after meeting Christ, after entering a relationship with him, being born again, and having a new life. And I really appreciate that. And we can see that in everyday things that we do. What do we do when our light bulb burns out? We don't try to fix the old light bulb. You know, there's a little filament there, a little wire. I'm sure you notice it, that burns out and it doesn't connect anymore. And that's the way we're born. We're born disconnected with Christ. That's the old man. It doesn't have the capacity to receive the grace and the forgiveness, the love, the power to live differently. We're unregenerated. We're not born again. And we have to remove that old light bulb, put it away, throw it in the trash, and put in a new light bulb. Same thing happens in vehicles with the electrical circuits and the walls. There's walls that have the old walls. There in Mexico, we have those where you still use the fuses. And sometimes that fuse burns out. It's just one little fuse. You could try everything you want, but if you don't replace, take out the old fuse, put in the new fuse, whether in the house or the car, that part of the vehicle won't work. Whether it's the windows that go up and down, or whether it be the horn or whatever it might be, it won't function until you replace the fuse. Take off the old fuse and put on the new fuse. You know, without being born again, we do not have the capacity to forgive like we should. We don't have the capacity to leave behind the world. We don't have that capacity. We don't have that ability to enter into a relationship on our own. But I'm so thankful that I have been born again. And my question to you this evening is, have you been born again? Do you have the power to put away the old man with his former lusts? And have you received power to put on the new man? If you haven't, I encourage you this evening to come kneel down here. You don't have to do it here, but that's the way we do it here. You can kneel down at your seat if you want. After the service is over, you can call somebody. I want you to pray with me. But you know, the Bible says that if we confess him before others, he'll confess us before the Father. If we deny him before others, there's a good way that we could confess him before others, that we're repenting and that we can show everybody that we mean business and that we're wanting to put off the old man and put on the new man. Amen? I really love John chapter 2. I know we all, as God's people, and especially as ministers, we love preaching from this. John chapter 4, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? 5. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water. Water equals the word of God. It's not baptism water, but it's the water of the word of God. As it's preached to us, as we read it, absorb it, it has the power to cause us to be born again. And of the Spirit, you know, there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's not just a Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit, born of that Spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. 8. We're in John chapter 2, 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Amen. And I love telling the story about, I guess because when I was younger, I used to love to collect caterpillars. And in my area, there were black caterpillars, but I've looked into it. There's all different kinds of caterpillars. They're green. They have different colors and rainbow colors. And most of them are ugly. The ones that I collected were black and ugly, and they would eat leaves. But I'd seen what they would do. You young kids, you've collected caterpillars before? And after a while, they kind of like start moving slowly after they've eaten a lot. And then they hang themselves upside down on a limb. And what do? They go through a metamorphosis. And you call the first stage, they call it, the butterfly lays the egg, and then the larva is hatched, that's a caterpillar. And then there's the pupa, the cocoon. And then there's what comes out, a butterfly. And I was always amazed growing up to watch them turn into a cocoon. There's some little spin, like a little web around it. And it looks like a white mummy. Others are actually, it actually looks like a pre-butterfly made like into a mummy. And I'd watch it change and transform. After a while, I'd see a little leg come out and a wing come out. And they say that it's still wet. And then it pumps blood through it. And pretty soon the butterfly comes out. says it takes it a while to fly, but then pretty soon it'll fly and it'll fly away. In the beginning, when that larvae was hatched and became, when that egg was hatched and it became a larva, which is the caterpillar, all it would do is eat and eat leaves, and it would crawl on the ground. It had, you could say, a low life. And isn't that the way? Thankfully, I became born again when I was little. I never did drugs. I never drank. I never smoked. I was never in prison. I never did those things that many adults do because the Lord caught me at a young age. Although my dad was a mafia man, he sold drugs. He was a drunk. And I never did it. Why? Because I was born again. I read in the Bible that it said clearly that, "Know ye not that drunkards shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven." That was enough for me to refuse the first beer that my dad offered to me at age 14. I refused it, and I never have drank any kind of alcohol in my life that I know of. But anyway, that caterpillar has a low life, and it has a different appetite than the butterfly, right? You young kids know what butterflies eat? What is it? Is it nectar? Nectar. And sometimes they'll drink the juice out of the fruit too. I read about that too. But they change from eating leaves to drinking nectar. So their appetite changes. What they want, what they desire changes. What they eat changes. And also, what else, kids? Does a worm look like a butterfly? No. What's more beautiful, the worm, the caterpillar, or the butterfly? The butterfly. And you know, I was amazed looking at pictures at how many varieties God has created from different moths, from different caterpillars that turn into moths and turn into butterflies. They're all different kinds and designs. It's awe-inspiring to see what God has done. And you know, that's the message that we preach to you tonight. If there's anybody here, maybe you were born again at one time, but you lost it. You've become an ugly caterpillar again. Maybe you've never been born again. You never put off the old man, and you're crawling in the dust of this world. Drug addictions, different vices, the low life of not being honest, not keeping your word. You're crawling there. But you know, when you cry out to Jesus and you repent, He'll send His blood and wash your heart. He'll send someone to speak the word to you. You'll be born again, either that or read it. He can make, as you read the word of God, He can make it alive to you. The Bible, that's the word of God. And you can be born again. It doesn't matter if you're in the prison, if you're living under the bridge, if you're at school, wherever you are, there at that moment, you can be born again. When you cry to Jesus, you can put away the old man. We'll talk a little bit about that here. And receive the new man. Brother Austis Wilson made a comment about this in Bible Answers and Questions, I think it is called. I made a copy of it and I forgot it at home, but he made the phrase something to this effect. Don't quote me exactly, but it's something like this. He said, "It is more than likely that when Jesus spoke to Nicodemus and he spoke about that unless you be born again, you cannot enter or see the kingdom of heaven, that he was speaking about the whole process from start to finish, including justification, regeneration, and sanctification, the whole enchilada. But he just didn't explain it. He just said, you must be born again." Amen. And so I could see that unless you're born again, the whole experience, you cannot enter or see the kingdom of heaven. Praise the Lord. And I just love that butterfly no longer eats what it used to eat. It drinks nectar. And what is the nectar for us, saints? The Word of God. Loving our brother and sister. Sharing in fellowship. Singing the songs that our brother was talking about that we enjoy singing to the Lord. Praising the Lord. Prayer. Doing good deeds. Doing good works. Hospitality. Inviting others to our home. Telling them about Jesus, enjoying fellowship with them, thinking more of others more than we think of ourselves. That's nectar to our soul. Yes. A relationship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that's nectar to our souls. Yes. And I'm so thankful that I am enjoying the nectar. Are you enjoying it? Yes. Butterflies don't have mouths, but they have like a straw. It works like a straw. It uncurls and it goes into the flower and they suck out the nectar. And I'm so thankful that I've got that straw. I'm enjoying my Slurpee of nectar of God's Word. And especially here at Guthrie, Oklahoma, I brought my spiritual straw and I've been slurping from that delicious nectar of God's grace, love, mercy, compassion, restoration, hope. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to His holy name. I appreciate a verse that says in 2 Thessalonians 2:13 in my personal reading this morning. I read it and I thought, oh, this goes along with the message that the Lord gave me. God, I'll read a part of that verse. God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Says it all. We're saved through repentance, being born again, regeneration, and the final whole thing is sanctification. That's when the Holy Spirit comes into their hearts, as we all know. He comes to dwell permanently. When we're saved, He's with us. He's doing a work in us, but He's not abiding in us continually. He's there with us, working in us and through us. But when we're sanctified, He's moved in. He, the Holy Spirit, is living there daily, giving us power, our constant companion, and that's really greater power. Greater power than we had, but more than when we were just regenerated or born again. Amen? John chapter 5, verse 24, the Gospel of John 5, 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Passed from death unto life. When I was worldly, I used to watch a lot of television. I used to watch something called Star Trek. Those are the old shows. And it was about some people that were in outer space, and they would get on this spaceship, and sometimes they'd go to Earth, and they would get in. There were two chambers. Get in one chamber, and that chamber would bleep you into another realm, another country, another place. And you see them disintegrate, and then they'd appear at the other place, traveling thousands and thousands of miles away. And that just comes to my mind every time I read this. We've been translated from death to life. From one realm of sin, sadness, wanting to commit suicide, being overcome, a miserable, without victory life, transported to a life of victory, power, joy, peace, stability, constancy, a higher plane, a higher level. Amen. You want to get in that chamber? It's called salvation. He'll bleep you from where you're at right now, transfer you, translate you from death to life. I know Brother Carl Schaefer likes that song, you know, from death to life, and then I don't know all the words right now, but we've been resurrected. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful that I've been translated from death. I'm no longer dead and boring and sad and what to do. I'm so excited about life. I love getting up in the morning. I get up singing. I don't get up murmuring and complaining. Oh, my arm and my leg and my head. Yeah, sometimes they hurt. But I get up praising the Lord and thanking Him. It doesn't matter what the condition is, because I've been translated from death to life. And I know you know what I'm talking about. I know you know what I'm saying. Amen? Praise the Lord. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. A spiritual life. Something that was not there before is born into your heart. Like a new seed germinating and growing. It was dormant, now it's alive. Amen. Another verse that I like in the Epistle of Peter. Peter, the second Epistle of Peter, chapter 1. Start verses 2 through 4. It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 3, we're in 2 Epistle of Peter, chapter 1, verse 3. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We've been made partakers of the divine nature. I heard a story when I was younger about a man that had an eagle, and I think they were trying to propagate it, keep it from going extinct. And they took the egg of the eagle and they put it underneath the hen. I don't know if the eagle was dying. I don't know what was happening to it. And so they put it underneath the hen. Now, chicken eggs take about 21 days to hatch, but eagle eggs take 35 days. But the hen stayed on the egg the whole days and it hatched. And she basically raised it, the eagle. And the eagle would walk around with his wings, once it could walk and got wings, scratching like the hen and plucking and doing this and eating like the hen. And one day, the story goes that the eagle raised up its head and he saw eagles flying above it. And he looked at his wings. In the story, they don't say what happened, but I can just imagine, what am I doing down here? I'm an eagle. I should be up there. And it started flapping his wings, and pretty soon it was up in the air and flying with the eagles. You know, the Lord made you to be an eagle. You've been predestined from the foundation of the world to be adopted, to be to the praise of His glory, but some are choosing to be a chicken. Are you chicken to bow your head and give thanks at work? Are you chicken to tell your friends, no, I won't do those drugs, no, I won't have an illicit relationship with you? Some of us are chickens. Chickens in our heart, but we don't know that the Lord has already paid for it all. He's supplied everything, the grace, the mercy, the forgiveness, the divine nature. He's just waiting for you to look up to Him. And that's why Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. Oh, may the world see us as eagles, not chickens. I'm afraid to dress like a saint. No. My friends might quit talking to me. Amen. Oh, may we be eagles, soar above the unforgiveness, the malice, the backstabbing, the gossip. Fly above that and be saints. And I am so thankful that that's what I see here. I just love being around you saints. You're eagles. And if there are some chickens here, throw off that chicken suit and put off the old man and put on the new man. You can have it tonight. You don't have to settle for the least. You don't have to settle for that mate that's worldly, because you're worldly. You become a saint and pick you a princess in Israel. One that's going to be faithful to you. One that's going to be true, submit to you, love you, cherish you. And you too can do the same for her. I really appreciate my eagle wife. She's not a chicken. She's been preaching with me 12 years in Juarez, Mexico, where they've cut off legs and arms and hung preachers from the legs and bridges and cut them in pieces and throw them in trash cans and bags. And she's an eagle. She hasn't backed down. Praise the Lord, because she's an eagle. She's been born again. She's a partaker of the divine nature, and you can be too tonight. There's another story about, I looked into this to see if it could happen, and it has happened, where they've taken duck eggs and put them underneath chicken, a hen, and she's hatched them. And the hen is walking around, and the little chicks are with her, and pretty soon the ducklings see water. And they run to the water, and they start swimming, and the mother hen is going crazy because her chicks are swimming in the water. But she doesn't realize that they have a different nature. Chicks, by nature, do not swim. They drown. But because they have a duck nature, it's in their instinct, right, to swim in the water. And she's like, whoa, 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 and they're swimming away happily, and she's going crazy because her chicks are floating in the water. But they're ducks, so she doesn't know the difference. Amen? You know, we've been made to float and not to sink, saints. We can float among this horrible, dark world that is confused. We're floating. Like we heard emphasized later on after the message by our brother here, that Peter stepped on the water, almost like solid floor. You didn't step in there doubting. And we can float because we have the divine nature. We're partakers of the divine nature. Praise the Lord. Sometimes I know there can be some confusion amongst us, and I've asked the question, what comes with the born again nature? Does it like come like a package and you already know everything? You already know what to do? I don't believe so. It's a divine nature that separates you from the world, but we don't know everything yet. We do have the need to be taught. And I do believe that confusion comes from a verse in John. Let's see if I can go to that verse, brothers and sisters. That says, that's a book, the Epistle of John. First Epistle of John, chapter 2, verse 27. But the anointing, who is the Holy Spirit, that divine nature, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And that little phrase that we don't, and ye need not that any man teach you. That can be a little confusing. We don't need a man to teach us the divine nature. It's in us. We have it. The divine nature will help us to separate from the world, to want to pray, to want to sing, to want to praise. But there is need for teaching. How do we know that? Who can tell me the most obvious scripture saints that Jesus told us? He says, go ye into all the world. And what did he say? Let's go over saints 2. John, praise the Lord. Excuse me, it's Matthew. Matthew 28, verse 19. Matthew 28, 19. He told the disciples before he left, those that would go out to witness and preach. Matthew 28, 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. So that duck didn't need to be taught how to swim. It already knew how to swim. But there's things that duck was going to learn as time went on. It was going to learn other things that it didn't know right then because it was a baby duck and duckling. There's also some other verses. It says in, praise the Lord, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 4. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 4. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And so, if they were being commanded by the disciples to do certain things, that meant that they were being told, they were being taught to them, right? And I'm so thankful for the ministry. That's why we're here. If we thought we got it all with the divine nature, we got it all with the sanctified nature, we wouldn't need to be here anymore. We'd have it all. But we need to exhorting. We need encouraging. We need more knowledge, more understanding, to be stirred up, to be reminded. Amen. Things we might have forgotten. Amen. It also tells us in 1 Timothy 4:11, these things command and teach. There's a whole list of things that Paul was writing to Timothy, what to do, what not to do. And then he ended by saying, these things command and teach. And we hear a lot about man rule, and I know we sing against man rule. There's a difference between man rule and a minister speaking with the authority that God has given him. Amen? Parents are given authority to raise their children and correct them. Teachers are given authority to teach their children. Policemen are given authority to give us a citation if we break the law. The judge is given the authority to judge us guilty or not guilty. after a panel of people that judge yes or no. Amen? And the ministers are given authority. It's not man rule authority, but it is God rule authority. And we better submit or we will get in trouble. Amen? Scripture says, obey those that have the rule over you. It tells us in 1 Thessalonians, praise the Lord, chapter 4, 2. 4. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 2. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. And so I just brought that in because I've often answered myself, well then, if I'm born again, and then later on I'm sanctified, and it's the Holy Spirit that will lead me into all truth, why do I need a man to teach me? Because the Holy Spirit has sent that man, and the Holy Spirit is speaking through that man. So it's not the man teaching you, it's the Holy Spirit teaching you through that man or through that woman. Amen? Amen. Do we not pray before service? May the Lord have rule of the meeting. May He pick the minister of His choosing. May He anoint the minister. So then, if Brother Dan was up here speaking, I would trust that it wasn't Brother Dan speaking, that it's the Holy Spirit speaking. So I'm not going to say, I'm not going to obey Brother Dan. He's a man. I'm going to say, God spoke to Brother Dan, and He touched that spot, and I want to obey. Lord, help me to obey. Amen. I'm not going to be submitting to man rule. I'm submitting to Holy Spirit. It's Holy Spirit rule. Amen? At least that's the way it should be. If you're born again, we'll want to submit to Holy Spirit rule. Amen? Praise the Lord. I don't hear too many amens. Let's go to Matthew 9, verse 17. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish, but they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. The New Living Translation, I'm not backing it up, just I like this phrase in there. It says, for the old skins, this translation of the same verse, for the old skins would burst from the pressure, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. The wine, of course, is the Word of God, the new life, the born-again nature. Amen? We're talking about, it's the new man. That's the wine skins. The old wine skins would be what? The old man. The old way of living, the unregenerated life. The new man would be the new wine skins. And what is this all about? Now, some of us have studied this. They would take actual skin from animals, and they would sew a part of it. It might be the arm. Let's say they cut the arm right here and took up the skin. And so it was all around bottle. And then the top part they would sew. And they would pour the fresh grape juice in there, and then it began to ferment. And then once it fermented to a certain point, they would take it from there and put it into another wineskin. But if they put it into an old wineskin at that point, it was still fermenting, bubbling, and expanding. And the pressure would cause the second wineskin that was old to burst. But it would be taken from one wineskin to a new wineskin. And that's the new nature. If we're not born again, we're going to feel pressure to dress this way, pressure to not do that, and pressured, and the saints are pressuring us, and it's man rule, and it's legalism. That's what's going to come out of our mouth. Because it's the pressure, going to be a pressure to change, and we don't want to change. I don't want to get rid of my TV. I feel pressured. You're pressuring me to get rid of my TV. No, I'm not. I mean, you know what I'm saying? But when we're born again, and the wine, the new nature, the Word of God is poured into the new wineskin, or the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the wine, the Holy Spirit is pouring into the new nature, it's not going to feel like pressure. It's almost going to be natural. We still have a human nature, don't get me wrong. It'll still be a cost. We'll still have temptation. But it'll come, it'll be, we'll love to do it. We'll want to do it. We'll love to do it. I love to do it. I love to be separate from the world. I love to be with God's people. It's not boring to me. Is it boring to you? Put off the old man. Seek the new man. Amen. Praise the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. Colossians 3, 8. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. That's why that refers more to sanctification. We lost the image of God through Adam and Eve. We inherited a fallen nature or a depraved nature. And we inherit it back again when we put on the new man. And I put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. We're in Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy. Notice, put on. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on. Part of the new man is charity or divine love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. It mentions their long-suffering and forbearing. We had a little incident. I just tell because my wife really made me laugh. My wife is a very quiet woman, but sometimes she says some things that make me laugh, and I'm glad she does, because sometimes that can be stressful. And we stayed on the way up here, not too far from Guthrie, in a little town, and I saw a little motel. It said, relax in. I said, oh, we need to relax. I'm tired from all these almost 18 hours of driving to get to Guthrie, the camp meeting. And we drove in, and we stayed the night. And the next morning, I had prayed, read my Bible. I had my clothes laid out. I hadn't ironed it yet. My wife irons it, but I touch it up again. And I touch it up again because in traveling, it gets wrinkled, okay? So she does a good job. Anyway, we had the woman knock at the door. She was the cleaning lady. And that's usually not happened to us. And she says, you have 11 minutes. And you have to get out. And my wife was like, okay, sure. Well, I wasn't ready. I was to comb my hair. I haven't ironed my clothes. And the lemons went by fast. And she came again two other times and say, you lose your deposit, because we gave a $5 deposit if we return the key back. You lose it. And I told her, let's say, go talk to the owners and tell them that I can't go out. I'm not decent. I can't go out like this. So anyway, she went and talked to the people, and she came back. She said, it's okay. And we were leaving that place. I had to put on the same clothes that I've been using the day before. Anyway, it wasn't nice smelling. I put it on again. I got out. We were all, like, stressed out. And anyway, we were going, and she said, they don't need to call this place Relax In. They need to call it Stressed Out In, she said. So we stayed at Stressed Out In. But that woman, you know, I don't blame her. She's trying to get her job done. But someone said maybe she wanted to get the place clean and get home, get the rooms clean. And but, you know, thank the Lord that when we're born again, we learn long-suffering with others. There's something that wants to rush him. I feel like, oh, I want to see him go to this point, to grow in this point, and to, as we say, measure up in this point. The Lord tells me, no, you didn't measure up that fast. It took you a long time. So, oh, Lord, help me. Help me to be long-suffering. Help me to be forbearing. And I feel like I'm one of those, was it EGR? Extra grace required on me. My wife has to do a lot of EGR on me, but I'm thankful the Lord gives her that extra grace that's required to bear with me. And I'm so thankful that we can put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness. I mean, Lord, help us to be kind. Humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. May the Lord help us to put on charity. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17. I love these verses, and I hear this quoted often in the religious world, and thankfully it's quoted among God's people too. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I just want to get back to that nature. I often wondered, how did the animals in Noah's Ark, there were two of the not clean animals and seven of the clean animals that went in. We always see like an ark built and just two and two going in, but there were also seven, two going in, two cats. There were also seven of other animals going in because they were probably going to be used for sacrifices. But I often wondered when they were in the ark, because I read in the instructions that he told them to build three floors, three stories, but it doesn't say there were chambers in there. God didn't tell them to build chambers or cages to separate the lion from the rabbit, if you know what I mean. What kept them from biting and devouring and chasing and making a mess inside of the ark? I believe that God had to have changed their nature temporarily while they were in there. Because that's symbolic. The ark is symbolic of God's family, the animals. We were compared to sheep. And there's some verses that back that up in the Old Testament. The Jehovah's Witnesses use it to teach that there'll be a 1,000-year reign here, and the lion will lie down with the lamb, and that's literally going to happen. But we understand that that's not what it means. It says in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6. Isaiah 11, verse 6, and the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. What does that mean? There were some of us in the past that had a wolf nature. Wanted to devour, wanted to get even, wanted to backstab, wanted to pay them back, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. But then the Lord changed us. He took away that wolf nature. And now there's a saint there that was a lamb, and we can dwell together, and we won't try to devour that saint. We'll have the same nature as the lamb. Amen? Some might still remember us as the wolf, but we'll have the new nature. So I'm thankful that we put away the old man and we put on the new man. It says, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. The leopard and a calf, a young lion. Many times leopards and mountain lions will eat the cows, but here they're lying together. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together. We're sitting together. The one that was a thief, the one that was a gossiper in the past, the one that was whatever, we're all sitting together now in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Notice that the lion's appetite was changed too. A lion is what? Carnivorous, right? But now it was eating like an ox. It was eating grass. And I'm so thankful the Lord has changed my nature. I don't have the desire to sit in front of the violent video games, killing people on that. Violent games, amen? Do you? Do you have the new man? You still have the old nature? You like to be killing other people, and that you're the one in that doing karate chops and sending swords across the room and cutting off their heads? Is that you? No, I know that's not you. You've been born again. You don't want to watch those blood gory, blood curdling scenes, videos or games or TV or whatever you might even watch on your cell phone. Why? Because you put on the new man and you put off the old. Amen? Or no? Or am I wrong? Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful that just like the Lord possibly changed the nature of those animals in the ark, that I know He can and He has changed our nature, our appetites, and our nature, the way we act. Amen? Praise the Lord. I saw my wife and I stopped at the Oklahoma Zoo here, and as we were leaving the zoo, I entered into a room, not because I wanted to look at the books, because I wanted to cool off. And there was a little room there as you're exiting the zoo that has books and other things. And I saw a book that stood out to me. It says Friends, and it had pictures of animals. And I was surprised to see that it was saying there that an orangutan and a cat lived together for about 4 years. why the orangutans, am I saying that right? Orangutan? Its mate had died. And it wouldn't eat. It wouldn't do anything. It's almost dying. So the zookeepers tried different animals. And they put in a tabby cat, I think it was. And they hit it off. They played together. And the orangutan started eating again. Now that's unusual, but I think God is giving them a glimpse, because they have different natures, as to what He can do with us. You know, the first man that I met, he was a 90-year-old black man. He was a saint of the church that we left. And he was 90, a black man. I was a little Hispanic, age 10, and we hit it off. And it was seeing him read the Bible, praying, seeing him live a peaceful, quiet life, forgiving his enemies, that spoke to me. And we were, you could say, best friends. How can that be? It was a different generation. I was a different generation, raised in a different era, under a different culture, but yet we hit it off because we were both partakers of the same divine nature. The lamb and the lion shall lie down together. Sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen? Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then there's some other verses. Hope we're not boring you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Ephesians chapter 4, 22. Similar verses to the ones we read. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is, praise the Lord, hallelujah. It says, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. When we put on the new man and put away the old man, what entails putting away the old man? Wherefore, putting away lying. Speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, the thing which is good, that ye may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, this part of putting away the old man, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I don't think that needs any explanation. Praise the Lord. And I think one more verse. The first epistle of John, chapter 5, verse 4. First epistle of John, chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God sins every day. Can't give up smoking. Can't forgive his neighbor. Beats up his wife every day. Is that what it says? No, it says, Epistle of John, chapter 5, verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So, born of God, when we're born again, receive the divine nature, amen? Then we will be able to get along with our wife or our husband. I was raised with a dad, and I'm not degrading my dad, I just want you to know where I come from. Maybe you can appreciate me better. My dad was a mafia man. My mother caught him with many men, and she'd get home and throw his clothes outside angry. And then one time he chased her around the house with boots, said, I'm going to kill you. Pulled her hair. We called the police, and the police came and picked him up. And I've not once laid a hand on my wife. Not on purpose, anyway. Sometimes I bumped into her or something, but I've never hit my wife angry at her. I've never cursed at my wife. We've had some really heated discussions at times. But without a curse word, without a spirit of forgiveness. Amen. We've decided to let it go sometimes and talk about it later. But that doesn't happen very often. We're too busy doing the Lord's work to be arguing and bickering about things that don't make any sense. Amen. She's very different than I am. I'm fast, a perfectionist. She's different than me, but she's very thorough. And she gets the job done, believe me. She gets it done. I appreciate my wife. When we're born again, we're going to overcome the world. Are you overcoming the world? Or are you letting the world overcome you? If you find yourself being overcome of the world, I would ask the question, have you been born again? Are you lacking sanctification? Amen? Now, I don't want to confuse us here. A sanctified person can be tempted. A sanctified person will make mistakes. On the way up here, I got a speeding ticket. Amen? I wasn't speeding on purpose. I was enjoying the song, singing, and we were going through little towns, and all of a sudden, the speed limit went from 55 down to 25, down to 35, 25, and I saw, and I started going down, and the lights went on. The policeman gave me a ticket. Now, am I not sanctified? Yes, I am. But we make mistakes. We do errors in the way we speak. We might offend unknowingly. We might... somebody might feel mistreated with us, by us, but we really didn't mean to. Amen? So I don't want to discourage us. There's going to be shortcomings, but we are going to overcome the world. We have some saints in Ciudad Juarez, Mexico that were smoking. They had been smoking all of their lives. They're already 75 years old. They had never quit smoking. And now they have gotten the victory, and they have both quit. There were three that quit smoking. One went back, lost her salvation, but the other two have quit smoking. Amen? They had smoked all of their lives. I didn't give them chewing gum to chew. I didn't give them we didn't hypnotize them. We just preached the word to them. They were saved. They went to the altar to be sanctified. And I hadn't asked. I was afraid to ask if they had quit smoking. Oh, we quit smoking a long time ago, they said. I go, praise the Lord. He goes, one of them, I prayed to lay my hands on him, not to any other honor, glory, mine, but I prayed for him and I said, Lord, cause this brother, when he smells a cigarette next time, to want to throw up. And he said, walked out my home and they were smoking and I smelled a cigarette and I wanted to throw up, he said. And he hadn't touched a cigarette since then. Amen? When we are born again and we have that extra power, we go on to having the Holy Spirit abiding in us. We will overcome the world. Praise the Lord.